you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
From the Moan Broadcast Center, this is Air Talk on 89.3. I'm Sharon McNary, filling in for Larry Mantle one last time today. He's back next week. A little bit later this hour, we're getting into the conversation around Latinx representation with the new film In the Heights, and where some viewers felt it fell short of accurately depicting Afro-Latinx people in Washington Heights. Then it's 11, and at 11 it's Film Week. John Horn hosts and will tell you about this week's new releases, plus John interviews director Edgar Wright about his new movie, The Sparks Brothers. But let's begin with a developing story today. Last year, L.A. County voters approved Measure J. The ballot initiative created a permanent source of funding for criminal justice reform programs, like jail diversion programs in the L.A. County budget, about 10%. Now, Measure J was part of a wave of criminal justice reform legislation following last summer's demonstrations calling for racial justice. But in a proposed ruling yesterday, LA County Superior Court Judge Mary Strobel said Measure J is unconstitutional. It could be a big setback for the reform movement. Joining me now to take a closer look at the ruling and what it means is Frederick Wucher. He's an attorney at the LA law firm Strumwasser & Wucher, and he specializes in election law. Thanks for joining us, Fred.
Sure. Good morning.
Good morning. So first, give us a little background here. Measure J requires 10% of the county's general fund to go toward these reform programs. That's hundreds of millions of dollars for things like housing and youth programs, mental health treatment, many other things. What is the judge saying in this proposed ruling about the ability of voters to control county spending this way?
So I think the important thing to understand here is that the court did not say that anything in this measure would be unlawful had it been enacted as an ordinance of the by the county board of supervisors or as adopted as a resolution. So everything that's been done here, the county could still do, and they could reenact it on their own and say these are the policies that we're going to follow until they're changed at some future point in time. All the court said was that by going to the ballot with this measure and getting the voters' approval of it in the form of a charter amendment, that created an issue because it would mean that if a board of supervisors 5 years from now were to decide that they didn't want to follow this policy, and that is a matter of budgeting crisis or just the priorities on the allocation of funding, they wanted to change those priorities, they could not do that without going back to the voters to amend the charter. And by putting that power in the voters and taking it away from the Board of Supervisors itself, that violated provisions of state law, which require county budgeting decisions to be made by the Board of Supervisors exclusively.
Wow. I can't tell you how many county budget hearings I've sat through and, you know, heard the tug of war that goes on over, you know, the amount of money that they're actually have jurisdiction over. You know, some spending is already out of their hands when it's like federal pass-throughs or state right. requirements. So the judge said this was a proposed ruling. What does that mean?
Well, I think that's just sort of a technical matter. Under the procedures for cases like this, when the judge issues a tentative decision, the parties get a certain period of time to write into the judge and say, look, before you finalize this, you need to correct this, or you should redo this, or you missed this point. I think she made pretty clear that she wasn't going to be changing her decision and that she didn't want them to re-argue any of the points. So I would suspect that the decision will pretty much look like this tentative decision that she released yesterday in its final form in a couple of weeks.
Huh. So do you have any idea how the initiative could have been written so that it was legal?
Yeah, and that's where I really think there's some issues about the decision, about whether it would be upheld on appeal if it were to be appealed, and the reasoning in the court ground. The first thing to make clear is that this was not an initiative. And so, you know, we have a number of different ways that things get on the ballot here in California. And the one we're most familiar with is the initiative process. And that's something that is initiated by citizens, typically over the objections of the governing body, and it's compelled to be placed on the ballot and put to a vote of the people, and it can take effect if the people enact it in an election, even if the Board of Supervisors in this case, or any other, you know, governing body, city council, opposes it. And the judge relied upon a lot of case law that arose in the context of these citizen-sponsored initiatives. This was not an initiative. This was something that was put on the ballot by the Board of Supervisors itself, which it has the power to do both with respect to any kind of law that it wants to propose to be enacted, if they want to see whether the people are in favor of it and they want to ensure that they have, you know, sufficient popular support for it before it goes into effect. Or, in this case, by amending the county charter. Now, the county charter is a sort of fundamental framework for county government. And typically, the only things that go in a county charter are the kind of very basic things about how the government operates and, you know, how many districts, how many boards, when we have elections, the processes that are used, various things like that. And they don't typically put these kind of budgeting decisions into a county charter. And that's the real issue here. Is this the kind of decision that can be put in a county charter which would have the effect of precluding the next Board of Supervisors that to be elected from unilaterally making changes in this policy without having to go back to the voters?
Huh. Well, I know in California law, there's a huge amount of spending that has been dictated by voters who passed initiatives. And so that's the difference here, that because the SUPs themselves put it on the ballot, they can't tie the hands of future boards?
There's several levels of difference. One, that difference that you're referring to is particularly because of those initiatives are done at the state level. Mm. And in fact, the case that the court relied upon here was from a prior case in Ventura County a number of years ago, where the local voters essentially wanted to impose a budget constraint that was inconsistent with a state initiative that said these funds should be used for various purposes, and they wanted to restrict them for some purposes. And so this, under, you know, our system of government, state law preempts local law in most instances. But one of the questions here will be, is this one of those instances? Because the county has some autonomy to create its own processes through the formation of a charter county, which gives it more power than a general law county, like was a case in that case was from Ventura, which is not a charter county. So that is one of the key issues in this case is, are the restrictions that are imposed by state law applicable to the County of Los Angeles in its charter?
Wow. Well, okay, so lightning round. Do you think Measure J is doomed?
I don't think Measure J is doomed necessarily. I do think these are novel questions that, you know, there are going to be three more judges at least that rule on this, presumably at the Court of Appeal level, and they may have a different take on it. But the more importantly, I don't think it's doomed because I think what's really important, again, to remember is the Board of Supervisors can go back right tomorrow and readopt all of this in the form of a resolution or an ordinance on its own, and they would continue to have effect. The difference would be they would only continue to have an effect until the next Board of Supervisors decided that they wanted to do something different.
Right, because the public elects the supervisors. Thank you very much, Fred, for being with us. Frederick Wucher, specialist in election law, attorney with L.A. law firm Strimwasser and Wucher. Thank you so much.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.